I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.
This is something I did, something I can explain how to, I can't speak for everybody, but man, there must be more good women than men percentage-wise, so our chance of having a husband just minimized. That's why a lot of girls claim they ain't into guys and mess with other girls a part of time to improvise. I knew she wasn't bi, I seen it in her eyes, but just like a guy, I'm just trying to get in her thighs. She's telling me how black people really should enterprise. I'm like, if you don't get your ass in this ride from Enterprise that I rented yesterday and I got to have in by 5 with the gas filled up like I didn't drive. I told her I had a girl. Fuck it. I didn't lie. Told the rap game all right, but I'm just getting by. She had a little weed and we get a little high. Looking in her eyes and I'm feeling the vibe. She told me back in 95 she was in love with the tribe. Boo, back in 92, I was just like you.
Hey, what up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Bookie A Podcast. I'm Chris Daniels with my man Rob Hayes.
I'm Rob Hayes.
Rob is back to nailing the verses, everybody.
Hey, man. Had to, because I used to listen to that song. I downloaded it thinking it was going to be on late registration. Turns out it was part of, like, the freshman adjustment and really part of, like, Kanye's demo. So it was before the college dropout. But I'm listening in 05 thinking, like, yeah, this about to be crazy.
And then you looked at the track list and what happened?
Wasn't there. But that beat was the beat that Kanye sold to Missy, and then Missy sold it to Monica for Knock Knock.
So it was full circle now.
Full circle. You know what I'm saying? And didn't even know it. Didn't even know it until I heard the Knock Knock remix where Kanye was beefing because he wasn't in the video. Because he made the
so
beat.
So tell me, man, who won the battle?
Who won the battle? My score was Monica 767. I had 7 ties.
You had 7 ties.
Seven ties. When a song from the 90s went against a song from the 90s, for the most part, from the first albums, for the most part, it was hard to pick. You know what I'm saying? But Baby, 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 with the remix, that I had to pick that one. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, no, I have Monica winning. I like new Monica way better than I like new Brandy.
You talking about like later career Monica?
Later career, like, yeah.
So, because I gave the nod to Brandy, but I'm like, okay. I think I'm biased. I've also been rewatching Moesha on Netflix, so.
That is the problem. It's all these people who think that Brandy is Moesha. So they're like, no, she wasn't shading Monica. She was trying to be her friend the whole time. No, they don't like each other. Moesha is a character. Cinderella is a character.
I think that's not who Brandy is.
No. Because I feel like as black people, we should be able to empathize with and accept that there are different types of people in our culture. So you can have someone who interacts and communicates like Monica does, and you can have someone that interacts and communicates like Brandy does, and it's really unfair for us to pick a side. But I feel like people who can relate to one have an issue with the other and project their issues onto these two people.
But I'm not talking about no issue. I get what you mean. I think people are too focused on like the overall beef of things.
Yeah.
And that. But I'm just talking about in terms of like this battle. Like, I'm not thinking, I mean, I'm just saying.
You said you was biased, so that's what I was going off of.
I have some recency bias, but I still think she, I think I gave Brandy 8. I think I gave her 8.
And it was extremely close. And that means
they're still splitting hairs.
You know what I'm saying? No one had a majority. If you don't have ties on your scorecard, then you just wasn't watching the same battle. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I had more fun. I wasn't one of these people who was like nitpicking here and there. The only thing I nitpick now, because this was like, I think this was the first one I watched when it was like straight up like versus Apple production. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't know if I like the new format.
I like it. I mean, it does, you know, it does kind of neutralize some of the like, oh, what is their background going to be? What's their place like? What's their atmosphere going to be like? You know, it does kind of take some of that away, and it being a complete surprise what's going to happen. But, you know, I don't know. I kind of like the new format. It still doesn't feel like a television show. But it's not. It's something different, and no, I feel like
it's still not that.
I feel like the when they get an app, it I feel like it would be incredible. And then
you think that's the thing?
I think that should be the goal. The goal should be that they have an app or they share an app with other similar things where people can log in and comment and participate on their thing. Mm.
See, Because I saw that, like, you could watch it on Apple Music.
You can.
So I just thought, like, it's just going to fucking move over there, and that's just going to be what happens. But it's like the Instagram element is so important.
Yeah, because everybody doesn't have Apple. But I think you can't preach to ownership, and this is a Black-owned, this is still Black-owned, blah, 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 and then be exclusive on Apple.
It's true, because I feel like, obviously, you alienate a lot of people, but it's just like, once the names to like Apple came in, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But Ciroc is in, you know, Revolt is involved. It's a lot of factors involved. Which Kanye beat is better? Knock Knock by Monica or The More They Talk About Our Love by Brandy?
I'm going to go Knock Knock.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that song like resonates and kicks in my head just like much quicker. When you just name the two, I don't know. I think I just put like that beat, the Missy intro. Like I feel all that. I don't know. I think I just vibe with it a little more.
Yeah. I mean, no. Knock Knock was a great song. It was They actually, you know, completed a cliffhanger video. You know, it was a sequel to the So Gone video. And Monica with the samples. Like, I forgot all the, like, samples. Like, she had I forgot about the song Dozen Roses, which has the same sample from The Joy by Kanye and Jay-Z a good 6 years prior, you know?
Okay. What was that song number two for Monica? Song two or three?
I'm not sure. I don't have my list in front of me.
But it was a good battle, and this is probably one of the most fun ones to follow, like on IG, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I still wasn't a fan of like the people trying to beef, because I feel like, you know what, if it was real beef and like there was real shade, you would have heard a reference to vehicular manslaughter, but you didn't. So I feel like there was
wow.
Because like when Monica said like she was kicking in some doors, and Brandon was like, she was like kicking in doors, and I was slapping girls. Brandon was like, I was one of them. And then it got that was the first time I was like, oh, this is about to get weird. Mm-hmm. And Brandon was like, I'm just trying to joke. And I was like, this is the moment. Drop the reference.
I do think it's messed up to be in the game 25 years and be pitted against someone that, like, you know, your whole life you're working to get in the game. You're not thinking about this other person that lives across the country that has so much in common with you. You know, like, mm-hmm. like when they were 10, y'all were on the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all have the same favorite singer. Y'all came up at the same time, was listening to the same music, got through, you know, got record deals with the biggest record companies at a young age. The first album went, the first single went, and y'all are pitted against each other, and it's kind of messed up, you know?
But it does bring the question, that's like part of so many celebrities kind of like come up in like trajectory, mm-hmm. like I believe that the answer is yes, but like, do you think like without that, like kind of like pitting against each other, they still got the same careers and recognition?
No.
You say no.
No. I think that Clive Davis and Arista took The Boy Is Mine and milked it for all they could. So the song is called The Boy Is Mine. Monica's album is called The Boy Is Mine, which forces her hand of kind of ownership of the song, even though I believe Brandy wrote some of it and Roddy Jerkins, you know, like Dark Child, produced it. So it's a Brandy sounding song, which is the title track on a Monica album.
But you think that that changes the whole path? Like I'm talking about like the beef with them, you know what I'm saying? Because if you get through all that with no beef, I still think like, you know, they still in like the trenches of like pop culture, whether it be from like shit on Space Jam TV shows, you know.
Space Jam, Set It Off, Waiting to Exhale. Like, yeah, but I do think that it, it's probably been problematic for Monica, and I do feel like
she's not the light side of that, of the side, the yin and the yang.
Yeah, and also, you know, she's pitted against someone who's in your living room every week. You know what I'm saying? So every Monday at 8 o'clock, Moesha comes on, and that's hard to compete with. When you don't have a sitcom, you're not in, you know, like Brandy was, they took her out of music. She was on a show. She had a movie with Diana Ross. She was Cinderella, you know, like Brandy was on The Game. Like Brandy, you know, they took Brandy out of music. So to put her against somebody like that, it's kind of tough.
I hear you.
Do you think 50 Cent is ducking T.I.? I think so.
I can't say this because I don't know if we've ever known 50 Cent to duck anybody like that. But
50 don't back down.
Oh man. You can't play that in the battle.
he might try.
But that's the thing. If there's anything that he might want to back down from and he might get away with it, it's a battle with T.I. because he ain't go in that.
He knows that. I think he knows that musically he's not going to beat T.I. So he's making it about numbers. But Versus is not about numbers. Versus is like almost a reassessment, almost like impact. Like, what do these songs mean now? What last?
Yeah.
That might be special. Tough.
If I'm 50 Cent and somebody asks me like, yo, what's up? You go battle T.I. You just got to plug Power Book 2 as quick as possible.
50 Cent. Timberland. God damn.
Oh man, I can't believe we endured that every time you wanted to listen to the song.
Man, it was crazy.
We were just like, this is fine. Like they could have skipped this, but they didn't. It's an essential part of it. I couldn't listen to it without it now at this point, even though I'm like, why is this in here?
I guess people like, didn't know it was special, you know? It came out the same day as Graduation, but hey, this is something special.
Oh man, that was a battle that was for numbers. I can't really call that a battle.
I love the antics Rick Ross and 2 Chainz had. 2 Chainz had the strippers, and then Rick Ross had the masseuse. And
yeah, I never thought during the verses I would see somebody fake an injury.
He said his neck. His neck was tight. He kept pointing to his neck. Like, oh, no, man. But get my neck, though. No, you're down there. My neck is right here. Get my neck. He kept saying.
Oh man, his training staff is new.
But that timing was because there's that guitar solo in Devil in a New Dress, and he didn't want to like talk about Ye.
I didn't think he would have to. I mean, this is like the best thing about Versus is everybody gets real like candid and just like talks about like song process, who they was working with, you know, things like that. But that's an extreme length to go if you just don't want to drop Ye right now.
People who have R. Kelly involvement do get R. Kelly out of the songs. So when DJ Premier played Unbelievable by Biggie, he scratched out the R. Kelly sample. When Rick Ross played Speeding, I think he got the R. Kelly, like, I think he got, like, did all the way up to the chorus and then didn't do the chorus. Mm-hmm. which almost made it like, oh, I want to hear it so bad. And I used to hate that song. You know what I'm saying? But it's something about that buildup that was like epic. But I feel like Versus is missing the stories. Part of the fun of Versus was the stories of the song. And I think Brandy and Monica, them just trying to get through it, we didn't get a lot of stories. And in a world where Ye is not taboo, we probably get a Ye story. Brandy's assistant was Kim Kardashian. How do we not get a Ye story?
I mean, he wasn't around at the time.
He met her through Brandy.
He did?
Yes, when they recorded that song, that's how you met Kim Kardashian, or the first time you like heard of Kim Kardashian.
Oh, I thought
he met her making that pilot formally, but the first time he heard of her was when they were making The More They Talk About Our Love.
Okay. I mean, I would have thought it was, you know, more so about like Brandy and Kanye on like
Bring Me Down.
They got a few, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got a few, like, the songs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think of that side of things. But I guess, you know, I don't know. I feel like, I don't think Ye is that taboo right now. I don't think he's that taboo to the point where, like, artists should feel bad about, like the production side, like, making songs with Kanye. It's the one side that, like, everybody, I feel like, is forgivable about right now. Even though there's other things you could harp on. I don't know. Me personally, I'm like, now you're being silly. But I don't know. If you feel so passionately about it, I guess from a business, because you still got to think about, because I feel like this is one thing that gets enhanced right now from Versus, is like people's brands get like, there's so much spotlight right now.
I mean, when Rick Ross played Live Fast and Die Young, he said F Trump immediately. When, you know, RZA didn't put Dark Fantasy in the battle. That was one of his extra songs. I think Timbaland and Swiss are cognizant of people's reaction when they hear R. Kelly, and they warn people about R. Kelly. And I think that gets the wheels turning of who else should I be weary about playing.
I can see it. I mean, you know what? They're getting bigger, and they got, you know what? These are things, this is just the natural progression of things, but still crazy surprise about how fun and still how good the Brandy and Monica one was. I think that's got to be the biggest one. I feel like easily.
Numbers-wise, nothing in my lifetime might be bigger than Teddy Riley and Babyface, personally. I don't think anything could be bigger than that.
But you talking from just like the artist, or are you talking about the whole versus, like, even from like the tech issues?
No, I just mean those artists, their impact, their body of work, what they had to pick 20 from. No one else compares. No one else has done it. I mean, there are some people who would really have to. What are my 20? But those people have not done verses outside of Teddy Riley and Babyface. I like the producer ones better. I like hearing the stories of the songs more than seeing someone play their song. Like, I think,
because that's a concert you can see,
or something you can do at home.
You'll never see.
Me and my sister did Jodeci versus Boyz II Men at the house, but we don't know the stories. We don't know why they had on leather in the desert. We don't know who wore the sweater vest and the shorts and was like, this is our look. Like, we don't know that, you know?
Speaking of looks, though, who won the outfit contest? I'm surprised you haven't talked about the outfits yet that Brandy and Monica was rocking.
I mean, Fendi is LVHM. We already know their relationship with Ye. You know, he was an intern there. People said Brandy was just like Andell.
What? How did I not hear that? I heard Whoopi Goldberg. I did not hear Andell.
Yeah. Somebody said Dee's cousin, but I was like, nah. Andell was hilarious. And she had the white shoes, which might have been a little shade. She had the white Monica shoes on.
That was the biggest story for a while.
No one's had a better outfit than Jadakiss with the long sleeves and the shorts and the hat all being yellow and getting drunk. That was the greatest. We the only people to leave Bad Boy, and Puffy still love us. He does. He loves us.
Did you know about the recent news with Monica and Kim Kardashian?
Yes. So I learned of Monica and Kim Kardashian working to get C-Murder out of jail from her back and forth with Master P on Instagram.
Was it Kim Kardashian back and forth with Master P?
No. Monica and Master P have been going back and forth. Monica has been saying that she's been holding down C-Murder the whole time, been visiting him the whole time. If he needs anything, he can contact her mom and get whatever. And Master P is like, I am tired of... Master P said the bank of Master P is closed. The ATM machine of Master P is closed. I'm tired of people, you know, like he was like, I don't know you and I don't plan on getting to know you. Stop speaking on my family. Like, it's been getting extreme. So,
they're beefing.
They're beefing, but it's all IG pictures and captions. It's not like anything, you know, it's just really just Monica trying to, you know, paint one narrative and Master P trying to paint another narrative. And the saddest thing is that none of the beef helps C-Murder.
I mean, I don't see how it could. But how did Kim get involved? Was that like, because we know she has a history of helping people, and her and her team, whoever she works with, kind of focuses on, like, you know, individuals, and if the story's good and they got a chance to help, they'll try to help. But like, how did it turn to like C-Murder?
I think Monica went to Kim. She knows that Kim, you know, has gotten people out, gotten people pardoned. And so she went to Kim Kardashian to talk about C-Murder's case. The No Limit docuseries, they talked about C-Murder's case. I forgot that they had a law in Louisiana that you could sentence someone for life and it didn't have to be a unanimous decision. So they voted 10-2 in the C-Murder case. Jury,
but not in Louisiana.
In any other state, it would have been a hung jury. In present day Louisiana, it would be a hung jury. So I think I think they have a shot, because if the same thing happened today, if it was 10-2 today, it's a hung jury.
That's a definite case.
So yeah, but it might set a, well, I guess a pardon wouldn't set a precedent. But if something happened and they went through the legal system, it would set a precedent. But yeah, there were apparently wherever this happened in Louisiana, according to the No Limit docuseries, is like a racist town. And like they, you know, they put some of those laws in order to get their way. So I forgot about that. Once I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember thinking that was messed up. I remember thinking, man, I remember being impressionable and feeling like I have to stay out of trouble because this legal system is stacked against me.
But yeah, but that's like one of those things that, like, it sounds ridiculous. Like, you see in like movies about like important trials and shit, and it was like, this is just how it was back then. And like, this shit would never fly today.
I mean that sounds like 0203 back then.
I'm just saying.
We had
back then is closer than you think, but I'm just saying, like, that's like a definite case. And I mean, that's, you know what, surprisingly, is I don't see like an agenda there. Like, I don't see something there that's got to go to, like, you don't need to, like, even like, that don't got to go to Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta, that's something that can be for real, like, just in Louisiana, just to like that community, the community, like hip hop community and shit like that.
Well, if they make a law, then they got to reopen all these cases, and they're not trying to do that.
I mean, I know they try to do it, but like, you know what? When you change it, like, you just setting a new precedent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and no, it's messed up. It's extremely messed up. And, you know, it's been 18 years, and there's so many places where that wouldn't have been the case, you know?
Right.
But Kim Kardashian, she gets people out of jail. She got that Alice lady out of jail, and now she spoke at the RNC.
I mean, what is she supposed to do, man? Trump got her out.
I think that's part of the deal.
I mean,
I don't know what ASAP Rocky paid to not perform at the RNC.
Did
Because when Trump was like, yo, I got these hostages out, I was like, yo, if ASAP Rocky comes out the back, this is going to be pretty wild. Because remember, he got ASAP Rocky out.
I wasn't, but like...
Remember Kanye was tweeting, like, I'm texting Trump right now, we trying to get ASAP Rocky.
Wasn't it like a, didn't they have like a weird kind of like, there was words between them at like one point.
Oh yeah, they asked him if Trump got him out, and what did he say?
And he,
not specifically, or something like that.
He wasn't giving that praise, because you know, like, Trump needs that praise, like,
yeah,
he can't just do you the favor, and then you don't, like, tell everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of, I think ASAP wasn't trying to do that. I think ASAP was trying to keep him moving. He probably
make you say that you telling everybody, right? Like, before you even leave the room, you're going to tell everyone about this, right?
Yeah.
Because he's done more for black people than anybody else. You know what's crazy?
ASAP or Trump?
Trump. You know what's crazy about that statement?
Mm-hmm.
The implication that a white man did more for black people than anybody else is crazy.
Oh, but we know who
a black
we know
man just being in the building is already huge.
Yeah.
He don't even take that into consideration. He's like, it's either me or Abraham Lincoln. Like, there's like, he don't even.
And even him is like, he not me though.
Yeah.
At this point, like, nothing Trump says, like that's something that, like, nobody would ever, like, walk into a room and even think of saying that to, like, a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances. Like, yeah. Fucking, nothing surprises me anymore. I'm unfazed, which I think, like, I think that might have been, like, the goal. I'm just going to beat America into submission by saying crazy shit every day. And then 4 years later, I'm like, they're too tired. I'm untouchable. He just rope-a-doped everybody.
Yeah.
That's the same method.
Oh, Cannon's class. So... Kanye, I feel like one of his goals is to get canceled. So he's doing everything he can to get canceled. Okay. He's
on a canceled tour.
He's on a canceled tour. He tried to have beef with Forbes over his income. He's trying to, you know, get some kind of tax trouble or something there. Doing a campaign, all kind of faulty stuff going there. He's just trying to get canceled. So it's like Nick Cannon got canceled on his own podcast. So let me go to Nick Cannon's podcast.
He was like, I can't get canceled through conventional or legal means.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let me go to the current Don of saying shit and then having everybody furious with you.
But the part of the thing was who he said it to. Because he said it to Professor Griff. And if you know anything about Professor Griff, you know Professor Griff was suspended from Public Enemy for making anti-Semitic remarks. Now, I don't know any other rap groups that have suspension policies.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard of that either.
Also,
I've heard of some benchings or just straight cuts.
Also, if you're a Public Enemy fan, maybe you could help me out and tell me where are the Professor Griff verses? Because Professor Griff had a whole solo album, but the only thing he says on It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back is Chuck D's like, Professor Griff knows? He's like, yo, I ain't no toast. That's the only, I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. Flavor Flav has his own
bro,
song.
I would have to come to you for this information. Are you me telling me there's nothing?
I don't know of any Professor Griff verses, and maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe there's a reason why they only let him say, yo, I ain't no toast.
It's because like they heard him say something earlier, and it's like, maybe we just let him say a little
maybe
bit.
Right just before that and right after that, he said something wild, and they cut it up, and the only thing that they had was, yo, I ain't no toast.
I mean, I feel like, so is this Nick Cannon's thing? Like, he already had this show. So
Nick Cannon has a show. He's talked to all sorts of people on it. It's, you know, a pretty informative show. He normally has people who are experts, or it's interesting conversations, you know. And it is a pullback of the curtain of who is Nick Cannon. I do feel like, he, you know, I listened to his radio show a little bit out here in L.A. And I've, you know, of course, seen Love Don't Cost a Thing a million times. And Drumline is a classic movie. I don't care what people say. There's no scene in Drumline that is pointless. Everything has a purpose in Drumline. It's a great movie. It still holds up.
It's a TNT classic.
Come on, man. Orlando Jones' finest work. But that being said, I think Nick Cannon does, you know, when he does that podcast, that is probably the closest, it seems like, to the real Nick Cannon.
But, like, I don't even, because I don't keep up with Nick Cannon like that. Nick Cannon, to me, has been, like, the obviously, like, the child star Nick Cannon. Then, you know, rap career, like, actor, drumline Nick Cannon. And then the kind of transition into later, you know, like, was America's Got Talent?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? It's like, then that. And I just kind of feel like he's been making, like, middle America laugh every week for, like, the last, like, 5 years or whatever. I didn't even know that this side of Nick Cannon even existed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ever since he went back to school, he started Cannon's Class. That's why it's called Cannon's Class, because he went to Howard, and then he started mm-hmm. doing that podcast. So that's been around maybe like 5 years, I want to say. Maybe somewhere in there, maybe 6 years, 4 years, you know, in that mm-hmm. in that range.
But only Joe Rogan's getting the credit for having the podcast with the different thinkers on.
Yeah, man.
Sounds like the same thing.
It's not as old as Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan definitely was on and popping when Cannon's Class dropped.
Okay. But now on this, but it's like a free space for Nick Cannon to, like, he says what he wants, and then he got in trouble because he had too many anti-Semitic claims. I didn't know that he, like, countered and, like, had, like, a rabbi on. I didn't see the episode with the rabbi.
It wasn't just anti-Semitic. It was anti-Semitic, and then there were also anti-white. Because, you know, all white people don't mess with all white
Jews.
People.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, all white people don't mess with Jewish people. All Jewish people don't mess with all white people. But he offended both of them.
Which was a mistake.
Which, yeah, that's gonna have, you know, a lot of people not on your side.
Okay, yeah, it's the opposite of saying Chris Jenner's a white supremacist, because she pissed off nobody.
Nobody's still mad about that at all.
Nobody's mad.
I can't wait to keep up. I guess season 27 or whatever they on of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It needs to drop tonight. I can't wait to see her reaction to that tweet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Kanye was in the verses. Did you see Corey Gamble commenting? Talking about, yeah, this reminds me when I was in high school, Westlake. I was like, don't tell people you're from Atlanta. Tell them you're from Detroit. So,
fuck you. Detroit 2 out now. I haven't listened yet.
Oh, yeah. I haven't listened. Oh, man. We got a whole Big Sean album out.
Yeah. That's for the next episode, because I've seen some features on there that I definitely got to listen to.
Okay. Yeah, I got to check that out as well. I love Detroit.
Back to the task at hand.
Detroit was the soundtrack of my first visit to New York.
Man, that's poetic.
Yeah. Who knew that Kanye contributed to Can I Live?
Wait, what?
The Nick Cannon song about abortion?
Oh, yeah. The one that I said is his best work?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. First of all, I don't think I knew that song. That whole reference kind of skipped over me.
That song used to be on BET. That was Nick Cannon's, by far, best song. I mean, Feeling Freaky is okay, but Can I Live was like, it had a message. It was like, okay, like Nick Cannon, he might do this rap thing for real. Tatiana Ali played a mother in the video that was pregnant.
Wait a second.
That sounds like a familiar.
I still can't hear anything, but Tatiana Ali is
Ashley Banks.
Like, that sounds like a familiar visual to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that one might get me. But nah, I mean, I guess it ties together in a weird way now. But like, I do feel like there was two sides to this interview, because I feel like this is like a lot of things where there's Kanye things that happen where like he kind of goes off and people trying to figure out what happened, and then he like gets a chance to like he slows down, he speaks, and you just kind of like, man, like he has like such like a way of explaining himself, and it's like super sincere and thoughtful, and a lot of times like really eloquent. And then it goes for a while, and then he kind of steers back into, like, other shit. But, like, where he kind of, I don't know. But, like, there's some stuff, like, I felt like he didn't even have to explain himself.
I think it's honesty, man. I think even though we don't like what he says sometimes, and even though we don't like what he does, he's still very honest about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we appreciate. Now, some things don't feel as genuine, like about the president stuff and what he's doing with that. And fortunately, a lot of states today said are taking him off the ballot.
I didn't even know that he was on so many states' ballots. I didn't know he made it. I didn't even know he was on so many like states' ballots. Like, I didn't know he made it.
He was filing. So there's some due dates that aren't there, but they haven't done some of the proper paperwork.
Okay. But see, I don't like. It's like even that.
It's clearly people Googling, how do you apply to be the president? Like, it's clearly like, I've never heard of any major candidate, you know, maybe when Ralph Nader won, there were some states that he wasn't on the ballot. But for the most part, I think that option was there. Of course, I wasn't a voting age then, you know. But yeah, man, I think he's just, like, when he says that he should wear Jordans, even though he's got a deal, like, there shouldn't be non-competes, I should be able to wear Jordans, even though I have a deal with Adidas. That's a type of honesty that could get a lot of people in trouble. When James Harden signed with Adidas, he was caught with Khloe Kardashian wearing a pair of Jordan 5s, and then they pulled up a truck to his house with hundreds and hundreds of pairs of Adidas.
I hate that I even have to use this phrase. This sounds like good trouble to me.
I mean, if somebody pays me $200 million, if I only have one pair of your shoe, I'm wearing that shoe at all times. Me personally. But I have not reached that level of freedom where not only would I say I'd wear Jordans, but I'd say I wear Jordans on a podcast that I know people are going to hear. Like, that's insanity. But
yeah,
it's also how he really feels. He really still likes Jordans, really still feels like wearing them sometimes, and really can't.
I did like appreciate that like mindset, because this was like the first time, because even you've like mentioned like in detail like Kanye's relationship with like not just like the Louis, but like Gap, and like how the fashion growth and influences kind of, I don't know, they have like way more meaning to somebody like him in a way that kind of filters down to like the rest of us, you know what I'm saying? Like him aspiring to not just, you know, make clothes for like the high fashion, but like I get to make all these clothes for like under $100, but I get to bring in all these high fashion people, and we're going to achieve these same goals. And you know what, like when he explained, remember like way back we would talk about like the 350s and like the Roche relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He went like, he's like, I'm gonna do that for like bags now. And when he gets in like that kind of bag and that detail, and even talking about the relationship with like him and Virgil again from like a real genuine place, I feel like that's where like you can see the creativity flowing. You can see like it's like the creativity, the genius, and the ego, but like the product and the end result and like the end goal is like so great. Like that's the stuff I like to hear. That's easily like my favorite thing about listening to the episode.
And what does that sound like?
What do you mean?
Sorry for the realness. It's the same thing he was trying to tell Ellen, but now that he's able to do it, it doesn't seem as crazy.
Well, no, because, and I think that this is something that he was trying to kind of touch on with just about, like, it's not necessarily like access. It's like when he talks about like that Forbes list, where he's talking about like, are you trying to say that I can't do these things or be in these places? And then he just kind of like does it. I'm not a huge fan, like, especially at this point in time in America, of like hearing people talk about like, you know, like the shit where he's like, I always mention like I'm a multi-billionaire. Like, I get it, but I'm like, yeah. But like,
he wanted to change his name to billionaire. You know that, right?
What?
He was talking about changing his name to billionaire.
I didn't know that. I didn't catch that part.
Yeah. No, that was from a while ago. I feel like that was like we was on a hiatus when that happened.
I hope that would be Yeezy. I hope he doesn't do that.
But to think somebody was $50 million in debt and now they're a billionaire, it's incredible. What makes me the most upset about Ye is that Ye doesn't realize that he's bigger than a lot of things. He's so upset about the VMAs, so upset about the VMAs. Guess what? The VMAs was Sunday and no one cared. Ye is bigger than the VMAs. So upset about Obama not, you know, messing with me. Obama, you know, calling me a jackass. Obama's not there no more. Ye is still here. You know what I'm saying? Like, Obama's around, but if Ye wanted to reach the people today and put out an album, it's getting to the people. Like, oh man, Nike, Louis, blah, blah, blah. Like, Ye, you bigger than all that. And you could be bigger than all that if you wasn't worried about all that. You know what I'm saying?
But,
and you've seen it, and we know you've seen it, because that's why we mess with you, because you've seen it from the beginning. You've seen it. They didn't see it. And it's like if I feel like if 2013 Ye could see 2020 Ye, then he'd have no worries. He would have no stress. He and Jay-Z would be able to look eye to eye and be cool. And if not, it wouldn't be a problem. Because it's like, dang, if I did all this, if I messed up all these times, I said all this whack stuff, and I'm still right here, that spazzing out at Zane Lowe doesn't happen. Like, all that doesn't happen because that person, what they were fighting for, is getting closer to it.
See, now, I hear you, but he also said it himself. He needs the smoke. He needs it. I don't know I don't know why he can't manufacture it another way, but I don't know. Like, because they'll just always be there and they'll always be needing to be talked about for him.
I get that. And it's a way of focusing that energy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does. You know, if Ye took that approach to everything, I feel like Ye would be better. If Ye took that approach to Drake, there wouldn't be no beef with Drake. The beef with Drake comes because Ye is threatened by Drake.
I mean, but then
Drake almost signed with Adidas. That summer, Drake was wearing 500s. Drake was Drake was wearing Ultra Boost. Drake plant had an Adidas line plant. Now he's in the Nike employee store shooting a video with KD and Odell Beckham Jr. and Drex.
It's a good video. I don't know.
It's a great video, baby. But at the same time, it's like that video's not the same if Ye could just mess with Ye a little more.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But
and if Pusha T, doesn't push the T. Yeah, yeah. If we're in, you know what I mean?
See, this is the sucky part. I feel like we got to do this every podcast because we get all these glimpses into like the reasons we love Ye, and then it's just all this other stuff that come with it. And that's like the top half of the episode, and the other half of the episode is where. This is one of the things I was like, I appreciate Nick Cannon. He was like, he gave like space for Kanye to like appeal to the people who he says hurting. I say just like disagree or whatever. And it's like, Kanye got no interest in going down that route, man. He has his messages and where his messages come from. And he ain't giving that up for nothing, man. The thing is, it sucks because we already talk about it, like all the stuff that's happened, you don't really got no reason to like listen to anybody that he don't really want to listen to. And it's like this little echo chamber, and it's like there's the consequences with that, but it's like this is like what has been created for him. It's his space, and you just gotta live with that.
But you gotta be that dude all the time if you're gonna be that dude.
What do you mean?
Kanye don't do that in Chicago. Kanye go on the radio in Chicago, cry, apologize. Go on stage in Chicago, like, I'm moving to Chicago and I'm never leaving. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to be that dude at the crib too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but like he is a free, like that's the thing. Like however he want to move at the time is how he gets to move at the time because he's just afforded that. He gets to be this chameleon and he gets to be like the highs and lows of like whatever he goes through. He's like everybody around me and like basically is you comfort his condition. You become you adapt to this environment or else kind of thing. Like, and I get what you're saying, like he ain't doing that in Chicago, but like
at all.
I don't know, I just start to like you're like you don't there's no like positive result to that, you know what I'm saying?
Other no, than he goes to not. Chicago. If anything, you want Chicago Ye to be in Wyoming. You want Chicago Ye to be everywhere. In Atlanta, right. At Chick-fil-A with Steve Harvey. You want Chicago Ye to be everywhere, but it seems like there's Chicago Ye and then there's rest of the world Ye.
Right. And sadly, rest of the world Ye is probably getting written in into some ballots in come November.
What do you think about them responding to Stephanie Mills?
I kind of feel like, how do I feel about that? It's tough. Because those tough words to hear, you know what I'm saying?
You're breaking up.
I feel like I'm breaking up.
I hear you now.
Okay. Let me just do it so I can do it clean. With their response to Stephanie Mills, I kind of feel like they do something I don't like, which is they kind of shirk the criticism by like kind of changing, you know, what they're responding to. And I don't know. I feel like nobody, like these are two dudes at like such a level, especially as being like black celebrities. And I feel like there's a lot of pressure in that. And at the same time, like you got to protect where you are and you also got to like stand up for yourself. But like, I don't know. I just wish people would take criticism on a kind of like a human level and just like, I don't know, like attempt, they just need, I feel like they both need to have like a little bit more understanding of like where other people are coming from in a way that doesn't kind of feel like they're saying like, well, like without people like me, like where would you, it seems like it's a little too conceited, their responses to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think you don't get blacker than Stephanie Mills. Stephanie Mills was the original Dorothy and the Wiz. Her version mm-hmm. of home is the version of home that I prefer over Diana Ross version. You know, she felt good all over. Like Stephanie Mills got a ton of songs, and I feel like Nick Cannon probably followed her. You know what I'm saying? Like that was probably like mm-hmm. like I know I follow a bunch of singers from my parents' era and stuff that they listened to just to see what's going on with them. And I know that would affect me if one of them said something like that about being pawns for And I really think Nick Cannon wasn't serious about, like, he was, like, maybe serious about voting for Ye, but his reasoning is not because he agrees with Ye. It's really
his reasoning.
You're not going to pit me to say, you're not going to get me to say something negative against my homie.
Right.
You know?
Because he's got this, like, I'm going to do no harm thing. Because he's just thinking about, like, the camaraderie. He's just thinking about his boy. But he's not.
Yeah.
It's like words. This is like the stuff that sucks about the situation, because if you could just say like, if you could just like, not like be silent,
mm-hmm.
but if you could like openly talk about how you need to like educate yourself, things would be so much better for a lot of people. But nobody can be wrong anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's just the world. Like
nobody can be wrong. Nobody can be in the process of learning.
You gotta
have your answer ready.
Yeah, all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That sucks on like every side you can imagine, because that just does a disservice to everybody. Because then when you want somebody to like, who's going to change?
Who's going to change?
You don't invite it. And
you almost got to be forced to admit you're wrong in today's climate.
Yeah. Like you should, if that's the bottom line. And I feel like with a lot of things is I'm like, yo, I don't know what happened with being wrong. Being wrong is fine.
It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. All these people, when they claim that I got something wrong on a podcast, hitting me up, being like, you know, I was yelling at the speaker because you were wrong. You know, like all these people, it's like, man, it's okay to be wrong. sometimes I'm going to say stuff and it's not going to sound right to you. I'm not wrong, but at the same time, you just didn't hear it right. But even if I was wrong, I do know that it's okay to be wrong. Chances are I wasn't, but it is okay.
Oh, man. I will be looking forward to part, like, we'll cover part two, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right. The book is going to come out as frequently as it's been coming out. So y'all get excited to not know when it's going to drop, but when it drops, it's going to be there.
That's the right, whenever it drops, it's the right time.
We don't know. Don't ask us, we don't know either. We were recording from space and time is different out here, all right?
Yeah.
We are orbiting around the sun at a different rate. Our days are longer and there are more of them. And sometimes they're shorter and less of them.
You just described Alaska.
Because the gravitational pull of the sun spinning us differently. You know what I'm saying? We in space.
Man, this is probably the most you've done to hint that we need to end the podcast.
No,
well, man. I appreciate it, man. No, we need to get out of here.
I'm explaining that, you know, you talk and then your computer sends it to the power line and all that. That sends it to space.
Oh,
and
man,
then it sends it back to, you know, a satellite that sends it to my computer. And then I hear what you're saying. We are doing this over the internet. Therefore, we are doing this through space.
Bravo, Rob.
Come on, man.
Bravo, man.
Come on, man.
You got anything to plug before we get out of here?
Look out for me. I got some online comedy shows coming up. So look out for dates and information and links on my Instagram at Rob Hayes. I know fans of the podcast think that I'm look totally different and everything. You know, you guys have described what you thought my voice sounded like, but you can see me in my full body, you know, on not my full body, but most of it. Well, whatever I let you see on my comedy show. So yeah, make sure you guys check that out.
Let's see. No comedy shows for your boy. I didn't know comedy was still a thing, but I want to implore everybody, if you're a fan of comics, go follow Bad Idea at Bad Idea Hello on Twitter. Some good stuff coming out. Should be looking forward to it. I'll say no more than that.
Ooh. Hey, but, man, miss me with that bullshit. You're not a gang member, you're a tourist. I'll be blacking out. By the 87, then I freaked it.
Oh, this is one of the best episodes we had.
Yeah, man.
When that came out, man. Shout out
to Chadwick
Boseman, man. It was a tough loss. We are still dealing with it. But two of the biggest fans right here. Black Panther, everything he did was great.
Like,
miss you, Chad.
My father was a huge James Brown fan, and he loved the movie Get On Up and watched it a lot. And I got to watch that and experience it with him. So, yeah, that movie has, like, a special place in my heart. But Chadwick Boseman was super talented in everything he did. And, you know, the more stories and the more things people post, it's just, like, kind of overwhelming just how great of a person we lost. And, like, you know, even though I feel like he was appreciated, I feel like people, you know, definitely gave him his props and everything. It does feel kind of crazy, somebody that young dying of something, you know, outside of what we're all going through right now, which is, you know, COVID-19, the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, you still can't really put into words. You just know that he, like, you just know that this dude wasn't done.
Yeah.
This is what he knew, because he was turning, he was giving a voice to all these heroes, real, and then, you know, obviously Black Panther's fictional, but, like, to, so, like, all these stories, and he just, everything he did, man, he put his foot in it. That's all I know. So there's no better way of fitting the podcast, this one, than just saying shout out and rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
And I don't feel bad for Disney, because y'all trying to charge me $30 to watch Mulan, and y'all already get my money every month. So, hey, man. Premier Access, I don't understand what that is. Like, this, it's called Disney Plus. Where's the plus? Because y'all just giving me old Disney right now.
All right. I'm late you finish, but we got to get out of here.
All right.
Peace, man. Ha ha!
generation.